to our seats and let's have a word of prayer to get started. Amen. Before we get to preaching here. Father, we thank you and praise you for the word of God and what it means to our lives. Lord, the fact that you and your great love and sacrifice came and paid the penalty for our sin and met our every need in and through Christ. And so, Lord, we thank you for the gathering, that time that we have together here. We pray that you continue to bless and help as I speak, Lord, that you would direct my thoughts and Lord, our ears towards your word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Thank you. You can be seated. Did y'all get a handout on the way in? If not, there's some handouts there. It is not on the Connect page. I didn't think to do that one. But if you get a handout, that'd be a help. And also, the prayer list. Did everybody get a prayer list? I did not get one. So I wouldn't mind if somebody got me one before the end here. I forgot to get one while I was out there. That Philip took the cue. And, oh, John's on his way. So we're good. Oh. You win. You win. All right. So we'll look that over a little bit at the end and have some prayer time. But, if you're looking at the screen and it says boundaries, and you say, wait a minute, I've seen that somewhere before. And the truth is, yes, you have, because the last time I preached about boundaries. But the whole thing is this. There's a part one and a part two and maybe a part three that I needed to get to, and I didn't get all the way through it. And so since we didn't get to do this kind of back-to-back, I thought I better at least review just a little bit and kind of quickly go through what I covered last time I was able to preach. But then we'll try to move into the next section a little bit. Colossians 1:18 is right there on the screen, at least a reminder of that passage, and that's what we'll spring from. It says this, Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Amen. And so we know that verse. We know the intent and the sentiment. What does it mean? It means preeminence means to put God first place in our lives, right? And so we understand that. We know that. Most Christians are aware of that priority. The question always comes in is whether we're actually doing it, right? And so we have to struggle through this life, kind of reassessing our own heart and where it is in our relationship with God, and whether we're following the boundaries that he has set up for us in his word to direct our life, to guide our life, to help us not only in our relationship with him, but also in our relationship with others. And when you look at the Ten Commandments, right, it's kind of split up, and the first few are more about, you know, just worshiping God and getting our focus on him. And then later on, the commandments start talking about things that we ought to do or not do in our lives, right, that could hinder that relationship. And so we're going to talk about boundaries tonight. Last time we met and discussed this, just a reminder of a few things. Boundaries change sometimes in our relationship with others because of the fact that sometimes our relationship changed. For instance, I have all adult children now. Yeah, all of them are adults. And so that's a different relationship, isn't it, than when they were, you know, grabbing onto your leg with a snotty nose and you're telling them to, you know, do this and do that and directing them all the way through. And but now they're all adults. And in fact, sometimes I'm wringing my hands because I can't say everything I want to say. Right? You've been there, some of you that have adult children. And so it just changes your relationship. You have a different relationship. Mr. Hass over here, we call him Philip most of the time, right? and his daughter probably calls him Daddy, but when she walks on the school campus, she has to call him Mr. Hass, doesn't she? It's a different relationship. And so because those things kind of change, and there's other examples I could give, but because they change, the boundaries kind of get a little bit different. Maybe you had a friend who later on became your boss. Okay, maybe that's happened. And they have a different authority over you, and different boundaries have to be set. And so it's a little tricky maneuvering through some of those relationships that we have. Now, I think I'm going to use this thing right. There we go. And I asked this question last time, whose yard is this? Well, nobody knows whose yard that is, right? You've never seen that picture other than last time I showed it. But what it means is, what we all understand is that somebody owns it, right? They got a fence put around it. They got a place to put their stuff and grow the bushes they want to grow, and have apparently some kind of stone dog or something on the porch, whatever that is. But we set up these boundaries for the purpose of taking care of the things that we are responsible for, right? And in those boundaries, we kind of decide what we let in and what we don't let in, right? I think of I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll go one more thing. 1 Corinthians 6:20 is the verse that reminds us of the fact that we are bought with a price, right? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And what am I saying to you? What I'm saying to you is that God has boundaries, and he has his yard, so to speak, right? And so we need to stay in his yard. We need to stay in the place where Scripture directs us and gives us guidance and help. Now, one of the things it says, and I was thinking about Drew today because of this, right? In Galatians verse 6, or chapter 6, verse 2, and Galatians chapter 6, verse 5, we hear two things spoken of. The first one is, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ, right? But the word for burden in that verse means an excessive burden, a burden that's hard to bear, a burden that maybe Drew just couldn't complete right now. I just don't see him walking around pushing a lawnmower right now. I just don't see that happening, right? Because he has an excessive burden at the moment, right? And there's several things that I'm sure that he will appreciate help for the VBS that's coming up. Things that are normally his responsibility, and he would probably jump right in and do, but now he's just feeling a little burdened by that, right? A little excessive in that burden. In verse 5, it says it seems like the same thing. For every man shall bear his own burden. So is there a conflict here? There's not a conflict. The word burden there means our daily load, the normal stuff that we are responsible for. Okay? And so God has a plan for our burdens. First of all, he owns us, right? We're bought with a price, and so we're under his umbrella of protection. Secondly, he has a plan for the burdens that we do have, and he encourages us to be helpful in those excessive burdens of others. But he also encourages us to meet the needs that he gives us as our responsibilities. And so that part of it. And so there's principles for setting boundaries we should talk about. Some things are about me, things that I need to do. Some things are not me, things that are not my responsibility. And so we look at those things. We look at the fact that we're specifically stewards of those things. For instance, our spiritual gifts, right? God has gifted you in certain ways, And he encourages us to use those gifts in the ministry and our church, right? It's the body of Christ, right? We're not all the eyes, we're not all the ears, we're not all the feet. God's given us different things that we excel in, and he's gifted us in. And so we need to understand what's my gift, what's my responsibilities in those things, and how I can be the most used in the Lord's service, all right? And so we talked about that. We talked about the fact that God himself defines who he is, right? We live in a world that tries all the time to define God, right? I like what the Bible says about this, but not so much over here. Right, and so we try to define who God really is, and in fact, many people just kind of feel like, well, there's a God out there somewhere, and whether you call him Buddha or Jesus or Muhammad or whoever you call him, he's just some greater being, right? And some people think that way, and so God says, no, that's not. I will define who I am. And when you look at his word, he defines who he is, he defines who he is not, he defines what he will do and what he will not do, and it's all laid out in his word. If we'll just look into it, I am that I am, he said, right? And he said that we look at scripture, we see that he's Jehovah Jireh, which means what? Anybody? He's our provider, right? He's the provider. Jehovah Rapha, he is the healer. Okay, a lot of people think they're going to doctors to get healed, but the reality is doctors don't heal anybody, right? All they can do is create. Let me give you an example. A doctor can you've got a cut in your leg, right? And your skin gets broke. A doctor sews up that with whatever he sews it with, needle and thread, I guess, but he sews it up, and then what happens? The healing begins, right? So he's useful. He's using his talents, his gifts, to be a help, but no healing gets done outside of Christ's healing in that body, right? He fuses it back together. And so anyway, I've just thrown that out. But so God is the healer. And there's many other names for God in Scripture that we could go through. And that's not the focus totally on this lesson. But we know him as many different things. We know that he is a Trinity, right? The Godhead is three in one. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In other words, Christ is saying, I am God. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Okay, he's got a plan. He's going to prepare a place. He says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And so he in all of these scriptures and many, many, many more, he is defining himself right before us. And now the first thing that we, and I kind of didn't skip my pictures forward here, but he defines, first of all, our salvation, doesn't he? He defines our salvation he's the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the God by him. And so it's Christ's sacrifices, his love for us. It's his forgiveness for our sins that allows us to come unto him. And then even as a Christian, he says what in his word? He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Okay? And so he defines himself. And he says, again, I am that I am. And so, again, I got behind on your screen there. But he gives us physical boundaries, right? Now, that's the only picture I could think to put up there for that. But, I mean, other than just a person, I guess. But all that is the skin, right? If you break the skin, you got a problem. But it's amazing all that God has put into just that little layer of skin that kind of protects us. Everything inside of us doesn't fall out, right? Okay, there's skin protecting it, holding it all in. There's nerves in there that give us pain when we hurt ourselves to keep us from continuing to hurt ourselves, right? It's kind of a warning signal for us. And we could go on and on about different things that God gives us in the body. Not only in the body, but also emotionally. I think God helps us in that way. He's given us kind of an emotional bubble, if you will, okay? A space in which intimacy that not everybody should be entering, right? And so there's a protection there emotionally, not letting everybody into that intimate space that he puts around us. And so he gives us physical boundaries and emotional boundaries. Words are important in our boundaries. The fact that we need to know how to say I will and I will not. We need to know how to say no and yes. And in fact, he kind of, in several places in Scripture, kind of talks about the people that are kind of riding on the fence there, right? He says, but let your communication be yay and yay, or nay and nay. In other words, yes or no, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. What's he saying? He said, indecisiveness, riding on the fence, comes of evil. Make up your mind, your decision for him. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, Scripture tells us, right? Someone who can't make up that mind. When we just kind of go along with the flow, we are kind of passively complying, but inwardly we usually resent that when that happens. And so we have to be careful about our wills and our will nots, all right? The words that we use in our life, nay and nay, yea and yea. You're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot. I will spew you out of my mouth. And it says in Revelation 3:16. And so church discipline is another area, you know, what words we use. When we look in Matthew 18 talks about it, I think God is all through that passage reminding us that we want reconciliation and we want edification. That's the purpose of his church anyway, right? Is to encourage and to build up and to edify. And so the goal is always that, to bring the person back into the fold, so to speak. And so our words that we use in all these are important boundaries that we need to set. And then absolute truths of God's set boundaries. God's laws, some of them, they do not change. They're known to have consistent consequences if you deny those laws. It says here, truth is truth, even if no one believes it. Right? A lie is a lie, even if everyone believes the lie. Right? And so God has a very specific and set boundaries. There are certain things in our life that we understand. Sowing and reaping, for instance. You know that law, right? And Scripture reminds us of it. He that soweth to the flesh shall reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap of the Spirit life everlasting, right? And so, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not, right? And so he's reminding us, and he uses that picture of sowing and reaping, right? You all know I garden a little bit. Some of you say a lot. And yes, there's a bunch there. But when I put a seed in the ground, let's say I put a potato in the ground, I expect to get potatoes, right? When I put a seed of corn in the ground, I expect to get corn. Now, am I going to get it tomorrow? No. It's a long wait many times for some of these things, right? And so... but what you sow is what you will reap. And so in the old expression about the flesh versus the spirit, you know, is the dog that you feed the most is the one that's going to grow in your life, right? It's that picture of what are you feeding? What are you continually feeding in your life? And so Psalm 119:45 says this: I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. All right, and so boundaries are not there to stifle us, right? They're there to protect us. And so if you want to be free, you need to have boundaries in your life. Seek God's precepts to know where those boundaries are. Ephesians 2:1, and you have he quickened that were dead in trespasses and sin. Trespass means what? It means that I'm going over the boundary line, right? You see someone put a no trespassing sign somewhere. What does that mean? It means you don't go in there. You don't get to hunt on my land or whatever it is, right? No trespassing. So setting boundaries includes not only all these things, but also our time off sometimes and our time away. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, think about Joseph. What did Joseph do? He said, here's the temptation, Potiphar's wife. And he said, so he ran, right? He got out of there. He got away and took time away from the situation in order to protect himself. Sometimes it's important to have geographical distance, if you will, in order to protect. Proverbs 22:3 says this. It says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished, right? And in 1 Corinthians 5, why don't you turn there? I'm going to read three verses together, and got to get you your involved here. So 1 Corinthians 5, verse number 11, we'll pick up there. And it says this: but now I have written unto you to not keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, covetous, or an idolater, a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not judge them that are within. But them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. And now, I don't think God is saying to us never approach another sinner. That's not what he's saying, right? But he is saying that sometimes being around the sins that he listed here, and it allows us sometimes to be drawn into those. And if your closest friends in this world are that those kinds of sinners, right? It's hard for us in our weakness and in our flesh to resist those things. And so we set boundaries. We set geographical distance. So we need to sometimes replenish our physical or our spiritual or our emotional being and just kind of get away from that evil, that temptation, those thorns in the flesh, if you will, that Paul was concerned about. And anyway, so let me, I'm not scooting on fast enough to get to part two here, but here we go. A God-controlled life, Psalm 119:45. We'll get to that here in just a minute. But so God gives us other people in our lives to help us to set some of those boundaries, all right? So obviously we go to his word and we seek the Lord's help, and sometimes we just need somebody in our lives that will kind of call us out, you know, when we're getting out of line. Somebody who will be an encouragement for us to do good things rather than to just go with the flow. Right. And so we need good peer pressure, not just bad peer, you know, staying away from bad peer pressure, but we need good peer pressure, that support group. OK, and And there they are. They're helping them build the fence, right? Put the boundaries up, so to speak. And so, you know, the most basic needs of life is your God-honoring relationships. That input and that teaching from someone else's perspective many times. To help us kind of overcome, you know, those old tapes that are just kind of running in our brain. To help us to see the forest, not just the tree right in front of us, right? So to speak. You've heard those expressions before. Elijah and his depression is a great example of this, right? And in 1 Kings 18, here's Elijah. He just got off the mountaintop, right? In this great victory that he had. And so now he's off by himself, and he says, I only remain the prophet of the Lord, right? He's thinking he's totally alone in the world. There's nobody else honoring God, nobody else worshiping God, nobody else preaching for God. He's there on an island. He's the only one. He says it again in chapter 19, 14. I only am left, and they seek my life to take it. So he's not only saying I'm the only one out there, but they're after me too. You know, they're ready to kill me and get me out of the way. Then in verse 18, God gives him that encouragement and just reminds him, hey, you're not the only one. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth of him that has not kissed him. All right, and he said, you're not alone. Let me encourage you. They're there. They can be a help to you. And so we need that support group. We need to, again, we already talked about this word, trespassing, but trespassing has consequences, right? Just try to go into some governmental piece of property that has a big fence around it and a sign that says, don't go in here, and just see what happens, right? You're going to end up in jail or something, right? You know, everything has a consequence when you trespass against it. In sports, simple thing, right? It's not a big deal, but hey, you step on the line. Sorry, the ball is no longer yours, okay? I give it to somebody else, right? Because you have trespassed. You're stepping over that line. At work, at school, you're at work. If you do certain things, you could get fired, right? At school, you do certain things, you could get expelled or at least suspended for a period of time because there are boundaries that are there to protect you and to help you. And we go on, even in marriages, maybe there's situations in a marriage where a spouse needs to be away from the other person. Who maybe is abusive or is taking drugs or alcoholic or is dangerous to that person. Doesn't always have to mean divorce or total separation, but sometimes there needs to be a period of time where you step aside from that situation. Parents. You know, we have to be careful as parents to not over-love our kids. Right? What I mean by that, you know, you've heard the expression tough love. You got to give them tough love sometimes. What does that mean? That means, you know, Scripture says, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Right? Kind of. If you don't work, you don't eat. If there's sometimes when you have to kind of help them off the couch, okay? And there's times when you have to just exercise tough love. He that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. And so we ought to work for those things that God gives us. And so that's part of the training, isn't it? When you get a kid, again, we've talked about the one grabbing onto your leg, and they can't do much, right? And And you have to tell them everything that they're supposed to do, you know, at a certain age. And then as they grow, they get bigger and they get more independent. And they try to, they try a lot of different things. And you're trying to figure out, you know, how much do I let them grow and how much do I continue to be that authority? And then one day they just spring forth and become adults, and here I am, you know, just like I said, not quite the same influence that I used to have. There's a different influence, and maybe sometimes that is very important also. But anyway, so there's different kinds of laws in Scripture, right? Here's a fancy word for you, apodictic law. Did I pronounce that right? No? You don't know. All right. Old Testament boundaries that were set. You know, God just says, this is going to happen. Okay? This is a sure thing. It is going to happen. Right? And so Galatians calls the Old Testament what? Calls it the schoolmaster. Right? Because it tells you those boundaries that we need to live under. It teaches us. And then we have causistic laws. In other words, what you did causes the circumstance, the response to what happened. And so so we have to learn kind of how to deal with both of those kinds of things. The if then, if you do this, then God will do that, right? And then there's other things that God just says, I will do this, right? And God is unchanging. And so so those kinds of boundaries. Again, there's consequences to those, to stepping over those trespass lines. And so let me make sure. All right. And so the next thing we want to talk about, within the boundaries, I have things that I need to accomplish and that are part of my life. What's within that yard? I mean, we look in this yard, we say, well, I've got to mow the lawn, and I've got to trim the bushes, and I've got to paint the fence, and I've got to make sure that the stone dog is washed. I don't know, you know, whatever. Within those boundaries, you have certain things that are taking place. Within my boundaries, within yours, we have feelings that we have to deal with. All right, guys, you have them too, right? Yeah, it's not just the girls, but you have feelings. And in fact, Christ used this phrase several times in Scripture regarding things. You know, he had compassion on them, right? You know, we can look back at the Good Samaritan, right? The Good Samaritan, when he saw him, he had compassion on him. We can look at the prodigal son, his father, and when the prodigal came back, he said he was a great way off, and the father saw him and had compassion, right? In other words, he emotionally responded to that situation and how he should treat the situation when he returned. Matthew 9:36 says this, but when he saw the multitudes, speaking of Christ, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And so he, not only is he emotionally concerned about the fact that they fainted, but he was concerned about the fact that they were just wandering aimlessly and not really receiving the truth that he was giving to them. Right? And they had no shepherd, like a sheep that has no shepherd. In Matthew 15:32, he says, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me 3 days, and they have nothing to eat, and I'll not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And so he said they have particular needs that only I can meet for them. And so within my boundaries, there are certain things that I ought to feel, right? Compassion for others being a main one of them. We have attitudes, okay? Your stance toward things and your beliefs about things and what you accept is true. Mark 7:8 says, "For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men." Those are the choices that were made. Okay, he said, I laid aside what God said, and I have just accepted the tradition of men, right? And we see that often spoken of, especially of the Pharisees in New Testament, right? Matthew 15:3 says, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" Okay, he's saying, you know, God has given you laws, and yet you have written your own laws, your own traditions, and changed the effect of that law, right? And so our attitudes, how we approach those things. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. He that hateth reproof shall die. It's pretty serious consequences, right? Boundaries keep you well and keep you alive, all right, in that sense. And so the third thing is behaviors. Don't interrupt the law in another's life. What do we mean by that? We just talked about the law of sowing and reaping. Sometimes a person needs the pain, right, to learn the lesson, right? And many times as parents, it breaks our hearts to see a struggle that our child might be going through. And it's really hard for us to not just fix it, isn't it? Okay, we want to fix everything. Well, sometimes the only thing that's really going to fix it is for them to reap what they have sowed. Okay, and so whether it's a good or a bad thing, sometimes we need to just let God's laws take their course in certain situations there. And so if you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And so so choices that we make. We often imply that we didn't have a choice about something. Well, we always have a choice. We always have a choice. What we don't have is a choice of the consequences for breaking those boundaries, right? We don't get to decide whether or not the policeman's going to lock me up when I go into the government, fence that I was not supposed to be in, right? We don't get to decide, how God is going to choose to change our life because of the choice that we made, right? So we choose, but God chooses the consequences, right? And Galatians 5:23 says, one of the fruits of the Spirit is what? Temperance, which is what? Self-control. Against such, there's no law. In Joshua 24:15, you know this. And some of you have a sign in your house that probably says this, I bet. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You're making a choice. Matthew 20:13. "But he that answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou agree with me for a penny?" Remember that story? Okay, God, the master hires people, right, during the course of the day. And he hires one at the beginning of the day. And he hires several throughout the day. And the one at the end of the day got the same money that the guy at the beginning of the day got. And so the guy who's worked longer, he's complaining, right? And he said, "Well, you had a choice. I said, this is, if you work for me, this is what you get, right? And am I doing some dishonor to you? I'm giving you what we made the deal for, right?" And so sometimes we look at our lives and we think, man, I made this choice, but I got the bad end of that deal, right? Well, the choice was still yours. Right? And the consequences are not to those choices. So we choose behaviors, how we behave, but we don't choose the consequences. God does that choosing. So within my boundaries, I have again, feelings and attitudes and behaviors and choices. Have values. What we value, in other words, what we love and assign importance to, is part of our boundaries. And so, John 12:43, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Okay, that is taking you down a certain path, right? If that's what's within your boundaries. Limits. We can only set limits on our own exposure to people behaving poorly. We can't make them behave right. Okay, have you ever been in that situation? You say, I just wish I could, you know. It's a lot of people, it's like, just choke them, make them do it right. Well, that's not going to help, right? It's you can't yell at them enough to make them do it right. You can't choke them to death to make them do it right. You just, sometimes they have to follow that law of reaping and sowing, right? The turmoil that comes in their life by making the mistake maybe is what will teach the lesson to them. And so so there's limits what we could do. God separates himself from those that misbehave, right? God's house, God's rules, God's boundaries. If I have a piece of property, right? If I am the owner, and that's what we started with, right? God is the owner, and he sets the boundaries and decides what's in the yard, decides who gets what room in the house, right? And so it's his rules, his boundaries. Talents. Now, again, we look in Scripture. We know that talent, the word talent is often used for money, right? And so the things that you possess, right? Boundaries. The boundaries are really of our use, not our possession, right? We don't own any of it. God owns it all, right? And so we have accountability to take care of that, to be stewards of it. And so it's an accountability of God trusting us to take care of it. And you know, Matthew 25, well done, thou good and faithful servant, okay? And so those things... within there. And then thoughts are part of our boundaries. The thoughts that we have, reflecting on the image of God, who is God, and how are we going to come in his image, is really the job for the Christian, right? To seek how to become the image of God. And so reflections of that image. Casting down, this is 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Okay, and so, and then we kind of break it down here. On, if you got that sheet, there's three things that establish kind of the boundaries of your thinking, right? You need to own your own thoughts, right? Many times we just, again, we kind of go with the flow. What is society saying is okay? And then we just kind of do it. And I use down here a few examples. Who says that your mortgage should be 30 years long? Right? Who tells you that? Well, the society does. Who tells you that five-year car loans are standard, or what are they, seven now maybe? I don't know. Who tells you that? Who tells you have to eat three meals a day? Maybe you should eat four. Maybe two's enough. I don't know. Who made those rules, right? Who told you that you should only work 8 hours a day? Or maybe that's too much. Maybe it's not. You see what I'm saying? There's a lot of things that we do. 18-year-olds are adults. Do they automatically act like adults when they turn 18? I don't think so. Some of them do. Some of them don't, right? But we just kind of flip the switch on and say, okay, you're an adult now. And so there needs to be some more critical thinking, right? Having your own thoughts in that process. Growing in knowledge and expanding your minds is important, okay? We talk about education being a great thing. But education is only as valuable as the source from which you're getting it, right? It's only as valuable as the, you know, the people that are teaching you and what they're teaching. And so, we need to go back to God's word. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Okay, and so again, going back to God's word. And then the third thing, clarify distorted thinking. Distorted thinking. Matthew 7, 3 to 5. You know the story. The beam is in your eye, and you're trying to help, right, your brothers get that little speck out, right? That's the picture that's given here. And so then, number nine, desires. We all have desires within our boundaries, within our lives, but God says, if you want them, if you want to receive them, delight yourself in the Lord. Okay, then he'll give you the desires of your heart. And so if my delight is in the things of God, then why wouldn't God give me those desires? But if my delight is elsewhere, then those desires may not be met, right? And it would be dangerous for you to have them met in your life. And then the final thing, love. Many have difficulty giving and receiving love. Maybe they have hurt or fear that closed their hearts and made them, you know, kind of that feeling of emptiness. And so, you know, God says this about love. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Okay, God first, right? And then thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Okay, and we all know how much we love ourselves, right? And so if we treated our neighbor better than we even love ourselves, that would mean something, right? And so what's the point? Is the very last thing I wrote on here. I am a steward of all God-given boundaries. We open his word, we see those I will do boundaries, and we see those if I do that, then I will receive this consequence. Those kind of if-then boundaries are important as well. You know, again, if I don't come unto the Lord, you know, how he's not going to give me rest, right? But if I come unto him, he will, right? And so those are important things. And so let's we'll pray together, and I'm about 30 seconds before the hour, so let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you and praise you for the time together. Pray that you just bless these families, and Lord, help us each in our Christian walk to draw close to you and to, Lord, serve you with understanding of the boundaries that you put in our lives and how that you protect us and guide us and give us rest and give us eternity because of those truths. And we'll be careful to praise you in that, in Christ's name. Amen. All right, I didn't get to the prayer list, but make sure you do. Let's stand together. We're going to end in a song or two real quick. You know, we'll sing fast. How's that? But